Horseshoe. I'm a grain farmer. My farm is about 120 kilometers east of Calgary, close to Clooney. We're a dryland farm growing canola, wheat, barley, peas, and what did I miss? Wheat, barley, peas, canola. And I also sit as the vice chair of the Alberta Wheat Commission, among a few other roles.
You're speaking here in Calgary at the CSTA semi-annual meeting about diversity and inclusion. Can you just give me a brief recap on what got you into speaking about this topic and why it's important to you?
Sure. So from these roles that I have, it's become very, very obvious, quite apparent that there's not as many women as there could be or as there should be in these types of leadership roles. So as someone who is a female farmer and wanting to take on these roles and work in an inclusive industry, that's kind of how I became interested in this topic. So it's definitely one that I'm passionate about and one that I see, a conversation I see a lot of value in having.
You had some what I thought was great advice for people in the seed industry, specifically people who sell seed, agronomists, people who come to the farm. You mentioned that you often get certain questions that are maybe sexist in nature, maybe a little bit offensive, that cause you to be taken aback a little bit. Can you tell me what some of those questions are and why they kind of get under your skin a little bit, I guess?
Sure. So I don't get these questions a lot, but when they do happen, they definitely stay with me. So just a couple examples. So if a salesperson of any kind is doing kind of like a cold call farm visit, and they roll up to the shop and they see me standing there, they might say, "Is the farmer here? Or is your dad there?" So that very clearly says to me that they're not looking at me as someone that they want to have that conversation with. And I think it's actually just a perfect example of unconscious bias. You know, you're looking for the older man who likely runs the farm, when really the person you want to talk to is me, because that's what I do. I decide what seed we grow and what type of seed that we're going to plant. So yeah, I think that's just, it's one of the most, it's one of the greatest examples of bias that people hold.
You went over 6 points, 6 ways that people in the seed industry and really every sector of the agriculture industry can better incorporate diversity and inclusion into their businesses. Can you talk a little bit about those, what the various steps are and how people can implement that for themselves?
Sure. So the first step that I talked about this morning has to do with acting now and including diversity and inclusion in all the different frameworks and the fabrics of your organization. So it needs to be present in all levels of your organization. So from the vision, mission, and values, and maybe the strategic priorities that you're setting, and also right down to how you conduct meetings. So that's the very first thing. So start now, act now, embed these concepts and these values right into all the work that you do. So that's the most important one. Number two is know the rewards and risks. There's really no good business case for homogeneity. We know that teams that are made up of all the same kind of people, they don't perform as well as diverse teams. So actually Rebecca Steele, she's the person that I've referenced here and that I have this framework from. She writes that it's actually irresponsible if we do not act once we know that diversity and inclusion improves business results. So that's another really key one. And number three, so move beyond awareness. I think in our industry, we're all very aware of what some of the challenges are when it comes to having more diverse and inclusive leadership teams and boards and staff. So it's time to now take it to the next step. So it's not merely good enough to just be aware of the challenge. You have to take steps and use intention and determination to propel this forward. And number four, so I actually I had a lot of learning happen on this one too. So make inclusion, not diversity, the big goal. So when we talk about diversity, if you look around at your board and you see that you have a nice mix of men and women and older and younger folks, if you're just merely doing a head count, that's compliance. So that's That's not enough. We need inclusion. And inclusion happens when all members of your board are making a meaningful impact when it comes to business goals. So you need to take it beyond that next step. So how do we know if we've designed for inclusion? Well, we have to use contemporary metrics. So we need to look at our boards and our leadership teams and qualitatively and quantitatively measure the impact that they're having. So that's that next step. So moving beyond diversity and headcounts, but using metrics to determine if we have made that change and if all of our leaders are contributing to all the conversations that go on. And the last step is to engage an expert. So we know that when it comes to other areas that our organizations work in, or that in terms of when you look at farms, we engage accountants and agronomists. We reach out to experts when we need them in all other parts of our business. So when it comes to engaging and working on a diversity and inclusion strategy, there's no reason why we have to go it alone. There's people that we can reach out to, like Dr. Aaron Barth from Dialectic out of Guelph, or someone like Rebecca Steele, who does this kind of work for a living. Those types of experts can help us on this front, so it's not something that we have to do on our own.